Okay, reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 4, Canto 4, Chapter 8, Text 55. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Salivai suci bir malyai vanyai mula faladivi shastan kuram shukaish charit tulasya priya prabhu. Okay, translation. One should worship the Lord by offering pure water, pure flower garlands, fruits, flowers, and vegetables which are available in the forest, or by collecting newly grown grasses, small buds of flowers, or even the skins of trees, and if possible, by offering tulsi leaves, which are very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. It is specifically mentioned herein that tulsi leaves are very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Devotees should take particular care to have tulsi leaves in every temple and center of worship. In the Western countries, while engaged in propagating the Krishna consciousness movement, we were brought great unhappiness because we could not find tulsi leaves. Therefore, we were very much obliged to our disciple, Srimati Govindadasi, because she has taken care to grow tulsi plants from seeds, and she has been successful by the grace of Krishna. Now, tulsi plants are growing in almost every center of our movement. Tulsi leaves are very important in the method of worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this verse, the word salilai means by the water. Of course, Dhruva Maharaj was worshiping on the bank of the Jamuna. The Jamuna and the Ganges are sacred, and sometimes devotees in Krishna of India insist that the deity must be worshipped with water of the Ganges or Jamuna. But here we understand desha kala to mean according to time and country. I think that's the previous verse. Let me look there. Yeah, last verse said desha kala, the bhag of it, by one who knows the country and the time. Does this mean in the Western River countries, there is no Jamuna or Ganges? Does this mean water from sacred rivers is not available? Does this mean that archer worship should, for that reason, be stopped? No. Salilai refers to any water, whatever is available, but it must be clean and collected purely. That water can be used. The other paraphernalia, such as flower garlands, fruits, and vegetables, should be collected according to the country and according to their availability. Tulsi leaves are very important to satisfying the Lord. So as far as possible, an arrangement should be made for growing tulsi leaves. Dhruva Maharaj was advised to worship the Lord with the fruits and flowers available in the forest. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna frankly says that he accepts vegetables, fruits, flowers, etc. One should not offer Lord Vasudeva anything other than what is prescribed herein by the great authority Narada Muni. One cannot offer to the deity according to one's whims. Since these fruits and vegetables are available everywhere in the universe, we should observe this small point very attentively. Om Gyana Timurandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Mulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manaho Vishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Pancha Kalpa Kurubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasa De Ghor Bhakta Govinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Well, greetings from New Jersey. Such nice programs we have in the home of Gopaki Shore. Jai Shri Radhe, Jagannath Mandir. I love it. 9 to 11, Shastra. We have a half hour kirtan and then Shastra. And a nice group of people, and then incredible prasadam. It's like the prasad capital of North America or something. Wonderful prasadam. That was really nice, but Friday night was amazing. And I think this verse is very important. I'll share with you. But I really want to share with you Friday. It's going to actually be my next Monday morning greetings. Hare Krishna, the mantra, the movement, and the, you know, man, Swami who started it all. I went to the premiere. I really didn't know what to expect. But, you know, I went with Jayadvaita Swami, and Ratni Krishna came with us, and he actually got us the tickets, and Jai Jagannath. And, you know, walking down 2nd Avenue to the Village East Theater and looking up as we turned on, I think, 11th Street and across the street, then looking up and seeing the marquee, on the top of the marquee, saying, Hare Krishna. And then seeing so many people crowded around. You know, I had a certain pride, you know, in being Hare Krishna. Naturally have a pride. We have the best tradition and the best, you know, wonderful philosophy, but kind of like a public pride. It's a pride. It's not an insular or cloistered pride. It's a community pride. It's a city pride. You know, they talked in the film about when the deprogrammers came after us, and then, you know, the judge accepted us as a bona fide religion, you know, as kind of like a watershed moment. Yadubar and Vishaka described the film as the second coming of Prabhupada. And it really was, and it's super significant because, you know, it's such a powerful medium. You see Prabhupada and you see his story, and it's incredibly well done, I think. And you hear Prabhupada from the very, very beginning, where there's actually some kind of film of Prabhupada walking in the streets of New York, you know, alone, and him talking that I was just a vagabond, I was just homeless, and even him talking about, you know, how it would be possible. It's just very, very moving, you know, all the dynamic parts, and what a job to put Prabhupada's life in an hour and a half, and how much they probably painfully had to cut out. But there was such moving parts. But before I get there, you know, I never been to this theater, and then, you know, you walk in and it's like a movie premiere. You know, they have that board where they get everybody that comes, you take pictures to show who is there. I guess that's typical. So many photographers flashing away. You know, Yadubar and Vishaka there, and Lalita Priya, who did my Puri film. And it was, I guess my pride swelled further. You know, it was a real happening. Of course, the premier was mostly devotees that I knew, but others also, for sure. And then you walk into the main theater, and I mean, it is posh. The way that, you know, I always make this point that, you know, we're not advancing. I don't think they make theaters like that anymore. It's a small downstairs. It's mostly a balcony. Everybody had this great view of this big screen. I think three quarters of it or more was the balcony. And, I mean, big balcony, like a theater, and then intricate. I don't know what it was before. Maybe it was a Masonic temple I don't know. It was really beautiful, like gold and relief work and chandeliers. It's like beautiful. And then sitting there, what gave me the greatest joy, actually, and the greatest realization, too, and what gave me the greatest realization is that the greatest joy is I'm sitting there and I'm watching people that I know come in who are not yet committed devotees, but have enough favorable connection to come to the film, you know, at the premiere, and it signed up for the premiere, you know, and I looked, I saw at least four or five heads of yoga studios that I know. One lady that I know who was the vice president of Morgan Stanley, fashion model, architects. I mean, and to see these people who I know, and who becoming the whole week, I think anyone in purview of the Krishna consciousness is going to come to one of these shows. And to understand that they never really, they appreciated Krishna consciousness, but they really never were introduced to Prabhupada, or in a very cursory way. Many had no idea. And, you know, this kind of thing where it's put together, where you see Prabhupada talking and his story, you know, and what he's accomplished. You know, amazing, you know, from, you know, how the meeting with the Beatles was done. I liked how they covered book distribution. You know, they had some clip by Prabhupada, but as we know, you know, book distribution, you know, for people around, it's got like a little, you know, Hare Krishna's had a little bad name, maybe harassing people in the airports or, you know. But the way they dealt with it, did it, you know, they had Prabhupada speaking about book distribution. And then they had these clips from, you know, the times where the Hare Krishna's were in the movies. You know, one scene where the person sitting next to me, Nayana Baram, the scene, it's in one of Woody Allen's films. He's distributing Woody Allen a book. And then they had this thing that someone did about the airports that, you know, put a little humor into it that kind of, I don't know, took away that edge. And it was so funny because it had two devotees at a counter. In an airport where they're distributing books, and someone comes up and, you know, they say, you know, it's like a stewardess of, they said, would you like chanting or no chanting? Anyway, the whole thing was what was just delightful, just to see so many people and senior Vaishnavas, Rameshwar and Yogeshwar, who were prominent in the film. And, It's going, and then when we got out, then the 9:30 show was there, and then that was, you know, I saw so many people there. They were lining up for the 9:30 show, you know, so, and then there'll be five shows a day, and I understand, you know, New Jersey Temple, they have 40 people coming in for the Wednesday night show, and this coming into that show, and this could be all over the country, and, the magnitude of the faith that this can give in the Hare Krishna movement, I think is unprecedented. You know, media is so powerful, and we get people, you know, we make the media. It's not that the media is made about us. We make the media, and media is powerful, and film is very powerful. And we get to tell our own story. How great is that? And people will be coming, and if it's successful here, they say in the first few days, it'll be picked up by theaters all around the country, maybe all around the world. And especially these people on the edge. That should be your target audience. Your target audience in any presentation are the people that are on the edge, people that like it or came to a Sunday feast or have some, and you know, and then to have that thing of seeing Prabhupada's humor, seeing Prabhupada's intelligence, seeing Prabhupada's, one lady I know that's a design coordinator, so yes, works in design, pretty successful. And she came to the reception at the Bhakti Center afterwards, which was also done first class. And it's interesting what she appreciated about it too, because she has not come forward in Krishna consciousness, this lady. Basically, I did some seminar, you know, at a yoga teacher's thing, and then she, you know, she was in that teacher training, and then she actually came to India this year, but and came to my Bhakti immersion, but never really came forward. And what impressed her was she said how Prabhupada was direct, straight, and had his objective and had his goal. You know, and you know, which is interesting, because that's something that maybe could turn off the people in postmodernism or something, or, you know, the Prabhupada had his objective, the Prabhupada had his goal. And so this was a watershed moment. I think many things are going to be happening in the Krishna consciousness movement. I think it's stepping up a notch. To me, it's quite obvious. And in that happening, I think parts of the leadership of ISKCON will also be purified to come up to a higher standard. Not that they're not, or not that there aren't people, but even boiling the milk will go at all levels. And see it if you can, and bring your friends. Especially if you have relatives or people that have any interest and really want to understand what you're doing, it's powerful. It's very, very powerful. At the end, just showing the glory, you know, after Prabhupada passed away, people were crying. people were crying. And then they showed how the legacy continues with beautiful pictures of kirtans around the movement. You know, and what's happening, and that was great. And then kind of a humorous thing is one of the biggest hands that was given, the biggest applause, a standing ovation at the end, and one of the biggest applause was given for the Donut Mike of the donut plant. Not that he personally, but they announced that he had provided donuts for all the people that had attended the function, and that anyone who had a ticket stub could go in and get a free donut at the donut class, which is another nice thing, how a sincere devotee is appreciated. Now to the story at hand today of Narada Muni as Narada is instructing Dhruva Maharaj on worship. And he's giving the fine details of what that worship is. You know, first it's more Jnana Mishra Bhakti, at least. He was purifying himself by austerities to focus on Krishna. And then the focus of Krishna is mentioned in terms of the form of the deity and japa. And this is Lord Chaitanya, how he perfected himself in his Acharya Leela's story as a teacher. He worshipped the deity, Lord Jagannath. And, you know, he chanted Hare Krishna. And, you know, very, very powerful, very, very powerful process. And the previous verse and the theme is continued as Desha Kala, this time and circumstance. And this is one of Prabhupada's glories. It's one of his realizations. And it's a principle that's still applicable today. And you know, it's still applicable today. Time, place, and circumstance. How it's applicable, that's a discussion that takes intelligence, as Prabhupada said. Bhojan Prabhu asked Prabhupada, how do you know what is a principle and what is a detail? Prabhupada said it takes intelligence. But here, he's telling him how you worship. You have to collect all these different things. Pure things. And especially mentions pure water, which generally means water from the Ganga or the Jamuna. And tulsi leaves are extremely important. And then Prabhupada makes his comment, which I would say when he says there is personal ecstasies, there are realizations that he can add from doing what he did. From in the film, you saw it. He came there. He did not know how he would spread Krishna consciousness. He had no money, nothing. And the fact that he started the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, a lot of the interview is with Thomas Hopkins, and a professor who first came to see Prabhupada, and he was just marveling that he made the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He had a little storefront. You know, he had a little storefront. And there's also a really funny part where they were interviewing Professor Hopkins, and he was giving his commentary, a very distinguished professor who even offered Prabhupada a professorship at Franklin and Pierce College, where this person was a distinguished professor. Prabhupada was considering it. And he was a scholar in religion. He was just fascinated when he saw Prabhupada and the devotees who had this orthodoxy, and they didn't really know what they were talking about. And one thing with Achyutananda, when he, you know, young boy, and he's saying, you know, we can be high. We're not low. He said, you know, so some people are low on a high platform. He said, we're high and low. And he kept on going around and mumbling. And then the voiceover of Professor Hopkins, he said, and they didn't know anything. And it was so obvious. So Prabhupada's mercy came through there, and this is also Prabhupada's mercy, is time, place, and circumstance. And there's two points here that I'm making, that there's a liberality and a strictness in offering. The liberality is that, I'll say the strictness is you can't offer according to your whims. You have to offer according to the pleasure of Krishna. Pacham pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta pyachati. You have to offer according to the pleasure of Krishna. that's there. But the pleasure of Krishna is ultimately our love. So out of love, we offer the best. But what is the best is relative to the situation and even a little bit relative to our own tastes and our conceptions of what is best. We try to actually understand what Krishna wants. And we try to offer the best. That is the principle. And therefore, we try to find out what Krishna wants. But it's ultimately he wants our love, which is expressed in offering the best. But if the best is not available, we offer what is available within the parameters. So he's saying, you know, you can the Ganga is not here. It's best if you offer the Ganga. If you're by the side of the Ganga, if you have love, how can you not get Ganga water to bathe your deities? What do you do if you're in New York? Well, you try to collect the best water you can, the purest water you can, and offer it. And Krishna accepts the love. That's the idea. That's why we offer the best. We offer the best because love means to offer the best. But what is the best? Sometimes it's a little relative, and I always remember that story where that great scholar, Haridas Shastri, he was like the most learned person in Vrindavan, and people were coming to him and asking him questions. I have the transcripts. Can we offer pizza to Krishna? And I think they asked that question because there were people perhaps disaffected with ISKCON to actually criticize ISKCON. So his answer was, whatever you like best, you can offer with the most devotion. That's so beautiful. Of course, that in that statement, it's understood that there are certain parameters that are what are best. But pizza is within those parameters. It has ingredients of things that Krishna can eat. And you can offer with devotion to the extent that you really feel this is the best. So this is a very, very beautiful concept here, and we have time today to go on to the next verse. Lavadrabhyamayim archam Krishiya bhavadishuvar yaye Abhittatma muni santo yatavan mitavanavu. It is possible to worship a form of the Lord made of physical elements such as earth, water, pulp. What is pulp mean? What is pulp mean? Wood and metal. In the forest, one can make a form with no more than earth and water and worship him according to the above principles. A devotee who has full control over his self should be very sober and peaceful and must be satisfied simply with eating whatever fruits and vegetables are available in the forest. So now the question, how should I offer it to the Lord? What direction should I take? And very interesting. Though you should be sober and peaceful in worshiping, which means you should control your speech when you worship. You shouldn't utter a single word. And it's seen that sometimes after offering food and people begin to chatter all sorts of things, the proper conduct is to maintain complete silence while the Lord is eating and meditating lovingly on him. This is a commentary. Only talking after the Lord has offering plate has been removed. But once entered the depths of devotion, then such injunctions have to be followed. I believe that's from a lecture from Radha Govinda. That's interesting. We offer the food, and while he's eating, we're still in the worship. I make this mistake when I read this. This is why it's so important to hear Shastra, to change what you're doing. So purport, it is essential for a devotee to worship the form of the Lord not only meditate upon the form of the Lord within the mind, the chanting of the mantra give, it is essential for a devotee to worship the form of the Lord, not only meditate upon the form of the Lord within the mind with the chanting of the mantra given by the spiritual master. A personalist takes unnecessarily trouble to meditate on or worship on something impersonal. The path is very precarious. We are not advised to follow the impersonalist way of meditating on or worshiping the Lord. Dhruva Maharaj was advised to worship a form made of earth and water because in the jungle it's not possible to have a form made of metal, wood, or stone. The best process is to take earth and mix with water and make a form of the Lord and worship it. The devotee should not be anxious about cooking food. Whatever is available in the forest or in the city among the fruits and vegetables should be offered to the deity. The devotee should be satisfied eating that. He should not be anxious to have very palatable dishes. Of course, whenever it is possible, we should offer the deities the best foodstuffs prepared within the category of fruits and vegetables, cooked or uncooked. The important factor is that the devotee should be regulated, mitta bhuk. That is one good qualification of a devotee. So we eat only when necessary to continue performing devotional activities. And be careful not to eat, for example, processed food, food that can affect our minds in a way that's not healthy. So these are important verses to be applied accordingly in our worship. You should not hanker to satisfy the tongue with a particular kind of foodstuff. You should be satisfied to eat whatever prasad is available under the grace of the Lord. So, anyway, just very practical. The form of the Lord to steady the mind. And it's interesting, you know, you make your own deity. So ultimately what happens is, if the attempt is made to the form of the Lord will appear according to the devotion of the devotee. God is responsive. Lord Nisringadev, Balad, is he in that pillar? Yes. Then, you know, I'll pause Nisringadev, I will kill him. And then God appeared. I remember what Prabhupada's godbrother said. Anyway, where he got it, I'm not sure, but I got it from him. He said, where there is no circumference, the center is everywhere. So if God is infinite, then his center is everywhere. And he can appear personally everywhere according to our devotion. God is revealed. God is everything is God's energy. But he will manifest in that energy, in his personal form, according to devotion. And to help manifest that devotion, the deity form is made to inspire us to love and worship in a more personal way than if we just see the energy and assume it's God, the universal form, a pantheistic vision, and personal vision. No, but the deity, it focuses our emotion and our love, which serves as a magnet to draw out the essence of God's reality in his person, which is not localized in one place. It is localized everywhere. And we have access with that, for that. Okay, we're going to cover some verses. Good. Swecha vitara charitai achintya nijamaya. Trisyat yutama shlokas tajayed nidayam gamam. My dear Dhruva, besides worshipping the deity and chanting the mantra three times a day, you should meditate upon the transcendental activities of the Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, his different incarnations, as exhibited by his supreme will and personal potencies. Meditate. It's ridayam gamam. It's very attractive, uttama shloka. by his achintya nijamaya, by his own potency, which is inconceivable, then, and by his swaicha, his own supreme will, then charita avatar, the activities, the inconceivable activities of God is manifest. I'm going to read a little verse from the commentaries of Sridhar Maharaj. He comments that up until the time this event, very few incarnations of the Lord have come to perform pastimes. However, Dhruva was told to meditate on those incarnations and pastimes that we are going to take place in the future. Hence, the verse is spoken in the future tense. So, you know, God's incarnations, they may appear in time, but they're eternal. So, it's not that they've manifest for the first time. So, with deep spiritual insight, even though they haven't manifest yet, one can contact them. Just like when God leaves, he doesn't leave. When the devotee leaves, he doesn't leave. We have access to Krishna. We have access to Prabhupada. They are eternal personalities. And as eternal personalities, they also have no beginning. It is interesting to note, there's no hint of impersonalism in Narada Muni's instructions. It is all progressive from the form of the Lord to his qualities, his name, and now his activities. So here there's also like a sadhana krama. They mention the name first, then they mention the form. Now they're mentioning the activities. And this is also beautiful. This is also what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did by hearing about the activities of the name of the person you're chanting, the activities of the form of the person you are chanting. Then you become more absorbed in the name and the form. And the more absorption, the more you feel the effect of the object you are absorbed in. And in this case, it's God in the form of his name, God in his form, the more absorbed and you feel more that energy. Third point. Devotional service comprises 9 prescribed practices: hearing, chanting, remembering, worshiping, serving, offering everything to the deity, etc. Here, Dhruva Maharaj is advised not only to meditate on the form of the Lord, but to think of his transcendental pastimes and his different activities. So we should also think of God. We should think of God's activities. Prabhupada described this in Nectar of Devotion as the mental culture of Krishna consciousness. He said, when taking prasadam, you can think of Krishna eating with the cowherd boys. Mayavadi philosophers take the incarnation of the Lord to be in the same category as the ordinary living entity. This is a great mistake. The incarnation of the Supreme Personality of God is not forced to act by the material laws of nature. So this is an important point in some Bandhigyan, in our metaphysical understanding of things. It's important to understand that God is, that the living entity is different from God and in the position of service of God. Not that the living entity is God. That's the wrong sambandha, that's the wrong relationship, and it's the wrong conception of reality. The incarnation of the Supreme Lord is not forced to act by the laws of nature. The word swacha is used to indicate that he appears out of his supreme will. So this is also very important, that he's not ordinary. Atmamaya, he appears by his own will. Every other living entity is forced to appear by his karma. The word switch, the conditioned soul is forced to accept a particular type of body according to his karma given by the laws of material nature under the direction of the Supreme Lord. When the Lord appears, he is not forced by the dictation of material nature. He appears as he likes by his own internal potency. That is the difference. The conditioned soul accepts a particular type of body, such as the body of a hog, by his work and by the superior authority of the material nature. And when Lord Krishna appears in the incarnation of a boar, he is not the same kind of hog as an ordinary animal. Krishna appears as Varaha avatar in an expansive feature which cannot be compared to an ordinary hog's. His appearance and disappearance are inconceivable to us. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly said that he appears by his own internal potency, by the protection of the devotees and the annihilation of the non-devotees. Devotees should always consider that Krishna does not appear as an ordinary human being or an ordinary beast. He appears as Varaha Murti, or horse, or tortoise, is an exhibition of his internal potency. The Brahma Samhita, it is said, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavita Abhi. One should not mistake the appearance of the Lord as an ordinary human being. Or beast to beast, the same as the birth of an ordinary conditioned soul, who is forced to appear by the laws of nature, whether as an animal, as a human being, or as a demigod. This kind of thinking is offensive. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has condemned the Mayavadis as offensive to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because of their thinking. The Lord and the conditioned living entities are one and the same. So this is the two defects of Mayavadi philosophy that shield you from understanding the absolute truth. One is that the living entity is not God, and God is not matter. The only thing they agree on is that we're not the body. That's only one third of metaphysical understanding in our philosophy. You have to understand the soul is different from God, and God is different than the body. God is different, is not the body. Narada advised the Dhruva to meditate on the pastimes of the Lord, which is good as the meditation of concentrating one's mind on the form of the Lord. As meditation, any form of the Lord is valuable, so is chanting of different names of the Lord, such as Hari, Govinda, Narayan. In this age, we especially advise to chant the Hare Krishna mantra as enunciated in the Shastra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, are there any questions? Can anyone say hello to that so that I know that you've heard my class?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
This is Gail.
Okay, Mukunda, hi Bo.
Hi Bo.
Thank you for listening. Great. Gail, Hare Krishna. Any
Hare
questions?
Krishna. I'm good today, thank you.
Whoa. First after 10 years. Good. Okay, anybody else like to say hello? Anybody else try to unmute their phone today? Here, let me open it up for everyone 1 second. Okay, anybody else like to say hello? I unmuted the phone.
I really like to hear, Maharaj, I really enjoyed hearing about the movie opening.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking, Henry, if I knew what it would be like, you know, if I knew that it the extent of how it would be like, I would have definitely tried to, you know, get you to come down, you know?
Well, that's really, I'm going on Thursday. I'm going to go to the closing of the opening. I'm going to go on Thursday.
Oh, you will come.
Yeah,
oh,
I couldn't be
you.
There this weekend. Yeah, I'm definitely coming on Thursday.
Oh, great. That's actually the closing is on Thursday, huh? Okay.
Right, yeah.
Okay. Are there any ceremony for the closing, or it's just the closing as far as you
know? I don't think so, but there are tickets available online, and I just don't want to miss it, you know. I'm coming back.
No, you shouldn't miss it. And book the restaurant, Henry, with maybe a friend. You haven't tried that restaurant yet, right?
I've been there twice already. When I went to the New York Rock Theatre, I went two nights in a row with different people.
Okay, good. Okay, great. Maybe I'll call you up afterwards and kind of get your reaction too. Okay.
Wonderful.
That's good. I won't be in the city, unfortunately, but okay. Good. Thanks, Henry. Thanks. Good. Anybody else like to say hello? It's a quiet day today. Okay.